Welcome to Winning Mood, short, sharp, strongest super coach and punting advice for the NRL week ahead. I'm Jacob Wynn for the Tripod. He's Tim Moody, the 2021 super coach champion. We join you every week to share as much strong information as we can with each other and our audience, but always in under 20 minutes. Timmy, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, man. It's been a pretty stressful week. Pappenhausen's gone down. It's really just opened up a fork in the road, and there are many different branches, I guess, to the fork or the tree and which way we can go. So it's pretty stressful times. It's going to be season defining for sure. So let's see if we can try to steer people around to some good decisions.
Yeah, that'll be a great topic to discuss. I'm sure that's been hot on all the other Supercoach shows. I feel like it's been a minute since we've been in this time slot. We've got to apologize to people. Last week, technical difficulties. We couldn't get our connection properly, so we abandoned ship just a few minutes in. I think we still managed to share a winning mood, 2 out of 3 tips. So at least we did repay you guys if you tuned in. That was a profitable 8 minutes. And in fact, you look back after 18 rounds, and including origins and rep rounds, I think you're bang on even if you've backed every winning mood tip every week. So that's not great, but you're having a bit of fun, cheering some try scorers. Some have hit, some haven't. And we still definitely could end up profitable for the season. We've got a good one to share tonight. And then I think even a couple of weeks ago, you know, there was origins, so we did it different time slots. So we're back in our regular time slot, Wednesday night, 7:30, which is what we intend to do for the rest of the year. And the other thing that's really exciting is that you are in the hunt. So let's start there. How did you go in round 18 and where are you currently ranked?
To try and segue a little bit from what you said earlier about doing well in the winning mood and we haven't really profited yet or anything like that. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So if we're not behind at the moment, that's good. Let's finish strong in the winning mood. 2 out of 3 market. And as for myself, started the year in 60,000th. Gradual climb, eventually now sitting in 21st, which is a very special number for me. 21, obviously the year that I won Supercoach last year, ranked 21. I very much like that at the moment. I feel like I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. Probably prefer to be in first, but look, you know, there is a big jump there. So 21st position doesn't sound like that far away, but there is a 520 points. There's a lot of work to be done. And I mean, it's not impossible, but I'd need to pretty much not make any mistakes from here and get everything almost right. So let's see how we go. And we'll get behind the old, wrong side, Viliami. This is the jersey, me and...
Yeah, you're explaining the jersey and you can show the back as well, which...
I'll turn around, I'll try it, yep.
That but number, I presume it'll be...
Am I in frame?
There you go. So 20, and that is phenomenal to be 21st out of over 100,000 people. And I think last time we talked to you, you were 35th or something. And it, you know, the
37th
higher you
last
get,
week. Yeah, before that, I was
208th. The harder it is to climb, and yet you're still climbing. That is insane. And it's so cool that we get to be on the journey with you. So obviously, that means you had another really strong week last week. So let's stick with the round 18 theme and talk us through it. What I'll do is I'll pop your screen, your team up on the screen from the round. Yep. And talk us through kind of who the high performers were. Or you had Pappenhausen, and talk to us through your trades.
Yep.
And also, like, I'm interested to know, or curious, how many other contenders have Pappenhausen? Is he pretty popular amongst the most?
I don't know the stats, but I feel like 90% of people that are in the hunt, that's just, I'm just making that up.
Right. Which is good news for you, at least, because it's not going to majorly advantage too many of your competitors. But anyway, talk us through round 18, including where you started.
It's not great for Pappenhausen. It's not great for the Storm. It's not great for NRL and the whole spectacle of everything. But for Supercoach, it means that there's more variables. It's opened the can of worms a little bit. That's probably not the right phrase, but look, traits. Fifita, I brought him in last week. I wasn't going to trade. I was really disappointed when he only had about 50, but he updated to 75 once they've watched that game a second time and caught a few of his extra scoring plays. I'm pretty still disappointed with I did it. I didn't have to do it. I could have played Stags for 47. I know it's like, you know, 50-ish, 30-ish points difference, but I would have rather not used two trades to for that 30 extra points, because I also had to bring in Pole as a downgrade to fund that as well. So it's made just things, my choices and my options going forward a lot tougher now. But the good positive news of last week was that I got on the VC Manu train. So him scoring 191, anyone who got on it pretty much had a massive week, no matter how the rest of their side went. And if you didn't have Manu as your captain, you probably didn't do as well as those who did. Obviously, even if you did have a decent captain and still like a Latrell Mitchell, which some people had. But that, for those, unfortunately, that had Ryan Pappenhuis, it was a massive hit to them. I obviously had him in my side. I reserved him. But captaining him, it's really cost people a big hit. But there's still seven rounds to go. So anyone who did cop a big hit this round, know that there's big hits for the rest of us ahead that, had the love this week with Manu. There'll be people going all different ways. And yeah, so just be patient and know that, your luck will turn around and keep the dream alive. I was 208th about 2 weeks ago and now I'm 21st. So, if you're sitting about 3,000 this week, you'll be back in the top 1,000 in 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Just elaborate on the VC loophole one more time, right? You made Manu your vice captain. So who was your captain?
I made it. If Manu didn't go well, I would have done Latrell Mitchell. But he didn't.
And then as soon as he killed it, changed it to Momasia.
Momasia knew he wasn't going to play, so that means that it gives me a double for my VC.
And was there a sacrifice involved there? Because did that mean you lost someone you would have started?
Yeah, I would have played Maxi King. So
okay.
I lost Max King's points and instead gained Tyrone Wishart's points of 12 instead.
Okay,
so
that's
41 points I lost there. But by doubling 191, the play was worthwhile.
Okay, so someone else who would have just had Manu as their captain could have actually been stronger. But you got the double chance there with the loophole. And obviously it's a smart equation.
I think it's a better play to people. I've had this argument with one of our other Brandon Savage on the Supercoach Experience podcast. He thought he was smarter move by straight captaining. I argued I think it's a better move that I vice captained. My argument for that is I got my captain right on the first time. You get two cracks at it, basically. That's why VC's about. You know what I mean? So, but
no, probability wise, definitely, because we don't know the future. We don't know who's going to perform So. You did it well.
I didn't watch out the podcast that he was on last week, and he did actually predict Manu going big. So if he was already thinking he was going to captain him and just had another VC there just in case, kudos. It's probably depending on what you're doing. Yeah, you can think different ways about your approach to super coaching. You might think you're doing the right thing, but someone else is doing something different, but it makes more sense for their side. So, yeah, lesson there.
Fair play. So your team is headlined by a couple of guys that are absolutely killing it. Obviously, Manu, we just spoke about, and Latrell Mitchell. You've got the pair of them, and they're putting up stats for fun, and they're dominating Supercoach and real-life footy as well. We might move to red light, green light, and play some squad game. And I'm sure you're going to touch on fullback options because everyone's going to need to find a replacement for Pappenhuis and how to spend his salary as well.
I'm going to try to discuss three different trees and the different branches these trees have off them, if that is a good metaphor we can run with. The first tree is the fullback. Pappenhuisen's gone down. The many branches off that, there's a lot. So people who don't have Latrell might want Latrell. The negative to that is the Bunnies have a terrible draw. Go have a look at the rest of their games. It's terrible. But Latrell's in really great form and maybe he can still perform well, but it would just be harder for him to perform really well, you know what I mean, if he's not playing those easier sides. So consider that. Also, you can move Hines down if you've got him at halfback and cover it that way. Some people who don't have Manu might just want to plug Manu in there. People who don't have Garrick, they can do that. There's all different ways you can do that, but that needs to be covered. Obviously, you can't hold Pappenhuisen, he's gone for the year. Another tree I want to discuss is the 5-8 position. Now, a lot of people have sold Munster and kind of either need to get him back. And a lot of people are thinking about doing it this week. I'm included in that consideration. I'm thinking I might have to part ways with Cody Walker. So I guess that chimes into the red light. It just, as I said before, the Bunnies have a very, very tough draw. It's making it hard for me to want to sell Cody because he's playing so well now that he's got Latrell there. And I think that even when he's playing the Storm this week, this is my feel, that Storm are going to mark up really, really well on Latrell because he's on fire. And that might take a lot of heat off, you know, two or three people trying to come in at Latrell, give Cody the ball. Cody has the big one, even though it's against the Storm. And Storm have lost a couple of games, mate. Everyone thinking they're going to bounce back. I do think they're going to bounce back, but I think it'll be a tight game. And I can't see it being massive scoring just because I think the Storm will just want to win the game. They don't need to prove anything to anyone. So that's, I'm really torn about that, but I think I'm probably just going to sell Cody because I feel like I need to get the better guy in, which is probably Munster.
But now, on note of those key position players, if you have Latrell, you wouldn't sell him. It's just a matter, you wouldn't necessarily pick him up. He's not the
I will
prime
say
option
this.
To pick up.
I wouldn't sell him this week. If he plays well against the Storm, happy days, and he's still scoring well, like 70s, 80s, showing signs, whatever. He doesn't have to have an absolute 130 blinder. Sweet, you hold on to him. But if there's something there maybe and you think, oh, maybe against a tougher side, I might react and then get someone else out next week. But I want to have a look at it. But my gut says I'll probably have to keep him for the season. I'm limited on trade, so we can't just keep rouletting it around.
And you talk about a really rough draw, and that means a lot of strong opponents and less likely for big scores, which means less attacking stats for these guys. Are there any players out there that have a kind of draw that you're looking at? I'm wondering, you mentioned Manu, you didn't mention Teddy. Is he an option at fullback? What about the likes of Gutho as well? For Parramatta?
Gutho not so much. Gutho not so much. Less pizzazz. Drinkwater, yeah, but I probably wouldn't have him at fullback for some reason. I just feel like he makes more sense at 5'8". I just think he can fit more guns into the fullback spot. But then again, you know, Drinkwater I do like. I've sort of been considering him a little bit myself, but I'm really torn by the fact that he does have those low scores in him that go missing, and they can be quite low. It's a bit like a Cody Walker. That's why I'm thinking about selling Cody Walker. He can score like a 30 points or a 20 points when he just doesn't get involved. So that stresses me out. So that's why I'm a little bit thinking about Drinkwater. But Drinkwater can go good. And the Cowboys do have a good draw. So a lot of people are keen on Val Holmes in the center wing position for that reason. Other draws that I from memory that are reasonably okay, I believe, after this week is the Sharks. Let's just confirm that, though, because I don't want to give terrible information away. But I think the Sharks run into an okay. Okay, so
which
Bunnies.
Would favour Nico.
So this week it's tough. Yeah, tough game this week. I might even sit Ronaldo Mulatalo. But then we've got the Bunnies afterwards. Bunnies are playing good, but they're not defending teams to death. And then they've got the Dragons. Then they've got Tigers. They play Manly. And then also the Dogs and Newcastle. So there's four what I consider very easy games there in Dragons, Tigers, Dogs, and Newcastle. So that, yeah, I think those two teams sort of kind of stand out for me as well.
Cool. And the third branch.
The third branch is the other important position, I think, which is halfback. So okay, so if you don't have Cleary and you did move him on for whatever reason over the bye period, he's probably priority number one to get in over everything. Just get him back in, even though he's playing the Sharks, who were pretty good against the Cowboys last week. I'd still say get him. Other than that, it's tough. Like, is Hines the second best guy? A lot of people are very, very keen on DCE at the moment. They've got a pretty good draw to the Manly side. So yeah, so he I'll be honest, DCE won me Supercoach last year. If you were to break it down and assess it, there was a lot of other good decisions that I would have had to have made as well, but that if I didn't make the DCE one, I think that was a key pod move I made. But this year it ain't a pod. Everyone's talking about it. His ownership might look like he's going to be a pod. Everyone thinks he's a pod. He ain't going to be a pod. That's the same as Tedesco's 10% owned in the top 100 and something similar in the top 1,000 or something like that as well. Everyone's doing it. But this is the really most important thing I want to say of the podcast. I've heard people on podcasts that I do have this opinion, and I've heard people on other podcasts, which I respect that I'm not on, have this opinion, and I disagree. Okay, so this opinion of theirs is it's time to just pod up. If you're chasing the lead and you want to go for top spot, you need to go for those pods. Start getting the pods in. I've heard people talking about getting Kalyn Ponga in. okay, he was great in Origin stuff. And just other weird positions, like I'll just get the guy who's, bugger it, 5% owned. I'll just do that. And maybe they're 400K or something like that. And they're that price for a reason. The trust in the good players. And even if you're still chasing overall rankings, get the better guys in. If you can nail your captain more often than not, and the guys in the top 10 sort of get it wrong three times, or their player gets it injured, you can make more pod decisions in your captain. You don't have to go potting up in random players. That's where you fall behind. And that's where you've fallen behind. Other people have fallen behind all year, not having those. You want a couple of pods that go well, but if you're just getting them because they're pods, make a decision on who do I think is going to score the best. Not who's the best player for Supercoach, who has the best pedigree. Not is it James Tedesco, he's done it for years. I'm just going to get him. He's done it for years and his draw's good. Don't do Blakey Ponga because he's got absolutely no draw. Do Ponga because you think he's going to score the best, and do Tedesco if you think he's going to score the best. And let the captaincy decide things, and also your reserves. There's so many, you know, weeks where if you don't play Targo, Targo scores 130 that week, and other people just played, I don't know, Stag to get you 19. That hurt. There's a big way to chase it up. So you just got to get your bench right, pay more attention to your matchups, and just really try to make sure you've left no stone left unturned in your own side. Don't worry about everyone else's side. Worry about your own backyard.
Really appreciate those insights. Of course, pod, point of difference. And I get the argument, because when it's all said and done, no one really is going to care whether you ended up finishing 400th or 40th or 4th. You kind of want to go for first. And you said before, you need to make 500 points up. So there's the argument that you need to change things up and be different to people.
But people think that's where they get the pods. No.
Yeah, there are a lot of small areas, and every decision counts. Captaincy and reserves and little things, and then luck, of course, like which player gets injured early in a game, so you don't have to go chasing for home runs. And also it's a matter of kind of dance with the one that brought you. So this team got you in a position. The reason
I'll
you are 21st
one more name, if you don't
in the
mind.
Nation. Go on there,
Adam
mate,
Dewey.
And then you've got to run us through.
Yeah, Adam Dewey. I like that. Last year was big for me. I brought him in only because I thought he was going to score the best or second best in 5-8, and he did for a certain run. If you think now he's available in center wing, so you can actually plug him in there as well. If you want to do it, do it. It's very pottish. The Tigers are a bit rough, but he does want to be all over it. But only do it if you think he's going to be the best scoring player. I really don't think the potting's the way to go to chase. I think that I'd make more ground with the exact same team as the guy in first than trying to go random just because of the sake of random. Only do it if you think that go pod if you think they're going to score massive. We've got not long left, so let's get on to the 2 out of 3. We've got some really good ones. It's $2.50 this week. It's available only through Top Sport. We've got Joey Manu. He's moved to the centers. He may not be available possibly, so we're hoping we do pass and don't get the void. But if we do get a void, it's not the end of the world. We get our money back. But I think he's playing. I think it's all smoke and mirrors. It's just a little crampy little thing. He's moved to the centers, but he likes to play his game wherever he plays. He's realized he can score basically when he goes to dummy half. Watch him push someone out of the way and go from dummy half this weekend and score for us. Alex Johnson, you've selected him. I like it because he's probably paying a bit more this weekend because he's playing against the Storm. And when the Bunnies score, they've got to go to their strength. So we're going Alex Johnson and, you know, people going to Latrell, being drawn in on him. Cody Walker does his thing. Last one, Nanai. Haven't been on him all year in Supercoach or in the 2 out of 3, but this guy scores try for fun. It's against the Tigers in the last game of the round. I love it. I think we're going to go 3 from 3. We only need 2 out of 3. All right, and do you want to wrap us up with the jersey promo?
Yep, jerseys is going to be Cowboys-Tigers game. The 2 out of 3 try scorers feeds into our tripod best bets. The teams we like are Roosters, Rabbitohs, and Cowboys. You said last year DC was the game changer for you. My observation is your team has skyrocketed ever since you brought in Mitchell Moses. So I'm watching him and cheering him on every year, every week. But I should say, so Cowboys, Tigers, comment the final try scorer and the minute you think they'll score. And that's all we've got time for. So guess the luck, gamble responsibly, and we hope we put you in a winning mood.
Good luck, everybody.